Amen. Thank you, Pat, and that handbell choir. That takes a lot of work. We appreciate the work that they put into that. And I'm going to take about 10 minutes and finish Matthew. Are you amen into? I don't know if that's amen into finishing Matthew or taking 10 minutes. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. And we really are going to look at just the last five verses of Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. I think they have a good message for us here as we enter into these final days before Christmas. Ray Anderson shared with me some reading that he's been doing. Thomas Merton said, "Into this world, Christ has come uninvited." I think that's a great word, isn't it? Uninvited. And for the most part, that's true. There were exceptions, like Simeon and Anna, looking for the consolation of Israel. They were praying, O come, Emmanuel. But for the most part, Christ comes into the world uninvited. And our text tonight speaks to that reality, I think. I just want to read Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 through verse 23. I'm going to start reading in verse 19. And go through the end of the chapter. And then really, I want to take some time and make sure that we understand the significance of the last word of chapter 2. "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Now, this is an interesting study here, the end of verse 23. How is Jesus being called a Nazarene connected to the Old Testament messianic prophecies? And it's important to notice a very small detail in verse 23, and that is the S at the end of prophets. Most of these other Old Testament citations quote a specific prophet. But here, in verse 23, Jesus fulfills what was spoken through the prophets. It's a reference to a broad message, a broad theme in the messianic material from many of the prophets, that the Messiah would be despised and rejected, that he would not be held in high regard, that he would be a nobody from nowhere. A Nazarene. The term Nazarene is used as a term of derision in the Gospels most of the time. Nathanael, remember, can anything good come from Nazareth? When the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and Jesus says, "Who are you looking for?" They're quick to reply, "Jesus the Nazarene." And when they nailed Jesus to the cross, they put above his head that sign that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." That was a statement dripping with bitter sarcasm toward both Jesus and the Jews. A king from Nazareth. "He shall be called a Nazarene," Matthew says at the end of chapter 2. At best, it's a reference to his obscurity. And I think most of the time when we hear people say it in the Gospels, we should hear them saying it with a kind of a sneer on their face. That Nazarene. But like everything else Jesus touches, it's a word that for us has become a term of endearment, hasn't it? We stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. His name shall be called a Nazarene. and he shall be called a Nazarene. Well, before we go off to Christmas, I want to set some truths before you that come from this one word. And first is a practical truth. The fact that Jesus was called the Nazarene cautions us to beware the tendency to diminish people because of their background. That's what the establishment in Jerusalem did to Jesus. Because someone's poorly educated, or because they have an accent, because they're from a faraway place, because they're from the middle of nowhere, because of the way they dress, or because of their race, because they're an immigrant or a refugee, beware of the tendency to diminish a person because of his or her background. It's the most common human tendency, and it's one of the ugliest forms of pride. We need to remember that the man who changed the world came from Nazareth, and he was not held in high regard. It reminds us of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, doesn't it? Not many of you were noble. The church has always been a bunch of nobodies from nowhere who, by the grace of God, know the Nazarene. And so beware of the tendency to diminish people because of their background. Second, there's a personal truth here that's appropriate for many of you this Christmas. We sing sad-sounding songs at Christmas. There's a lot of the minor key. It's more and more relevant to me as the years go by. And most of the reason for that is because of what we're saying. Jesus was despised and rejected. But we like to sing those songs, I think, because for many people, Christmas is a time when we're sad. Christmas is a time when high expectations clash with cold, hard realities. Life brings loss and loneliness and disappointment. And this extended holiday is like salt in the wound. And so a lot of people are sad at Christmas time. It's important to know that the point of Christmas is that the Lord God Almighty became man and dwelt among us. He was lonely. He was misunderstood. He was at some time sad. He was, the Bible tells us, acquainted with grief. Isn't it good to know when you're grieving that Jesus was acquainted with grief? It's because of the miracle of the incarnation that the author of Hebrews can say that we approach God's throne as a throne of grace, a place where we know we'll find mercy and help in our time of need, because we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus can sympathize. He's the Nazarene. And most important, this is a term that I think points to the cross. In fact, this declaration, he shall be called the Nazarene, reaches its peak fulfillment on the cross when he's called the Nazarene. And so we find once again here, even in the story of the birth of Jesus, that the crown of thorns is going to pierce the tender brow, and that the cross is always cast in a shadow. Jesus came to suffer and die. And the reality of the crucifixion makes the incarnation still more marvelous, doesn't it? He not only came and humbled himself to become a man, but he came to die on the cross of Calvary. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners, to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray together. Tonight we'll have no public invitation. If you need to speak with someone about your relationship with Christ, and certainly we'll be here when the service is concluded. But I want us to close this way. Please stand with me. And as we stand, I want to lead us in prayer. And after we pray, James will lead us in the doxology and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for these fine musicians and the work, the effort that they've put into leading us in worship tonight. And we do worship you. In glad submission and humble adoration, we bow before you and worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, we declare that you are the rightful King, the Savior King, the Shepherd King, the Messiah. And we praise your name tonight. Help us to worship you this Christmas in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray that those here this evening who are hurting would find comfort and confidence to pour out their hearts before your throne, knowing that in Christ Jesus they have a high priest who can sympathize with their weaknesses, who understands their hurt and heartache. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for the pride that sometimes diminishes people, for their background, their appearance, maybe even their origin. Help us to always remember that we serve the one who is called the Nazarene. Father, most of all, we praise the name of Jesus, who came to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary to once for all pay the penalty of our sin. He's the source of every good and perfect gift, every true blessing that comes our way. And in his name we rejoice this evening. Amen.